Hello, hello, hello. Hello, it's Adrienne here, and this is scheduled for live. I hope you got the alerts. My Facebook was acting a little strange, but hopefully you were able to get the alerts. I'm Adrienne Mayfield, just in case you have no idea who I am, and I have just returned back to the United States after 18 days, guys. I was able to sleep in my own bed. When I counted the days, it's 18 days since I slept in my own bed. That's crazy. But I wouldn't trade the opportunity for anything. I'm super excited to share my story with you tonight about how God miraculously moved me from America, Atlanta, Georgia, to Abuja in 1 week. 1 week, guys. And so hopefully this will dispel a lot of the rumors, a lot of the fear, a lot of the misconceptions that people have about Africa, Nigeria, more specifically. And hopefully it will whet your appetite and make you excited to go yourself. Just in case you have no idea who I am, again, I'm Adrienne Mayfield. My website is adriennemayfield.com. Hopefully you are watching me from YouTube, where you can subscribe. Please share with your friends. Or you might be watching me from Facebook. Please share and invite your friends to come on and watch. This is going to be a very interesting story. It will encourage you. It's going to inspire you. There's some funny parts to it. But most of all, hopefully you will be inspired to dash, cast off your fears, trust God, and know that He's a good Father. He takes care of us and He's always looking out for us. So I have always been drawn to Africa. Many of you know in 2017, I took a mission trip to Africa. I was actually supposed to be going to Burkina Faso. And I'm just thinking about this now, but even that mission trip kind of fell apart. I was going with a church that kind of fell apart about 2 weeks before I was supposed to go. And I actually found out about the trip I ended up going on very last minute. I'd already raised the funds to go, so I had the funds that was taken care of, but I switched mission trips, switched groups at the last minute, I think with like a week and a half to go. And so I ended up going in 2017 to Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda. I made a lot of friends. It was life-changing. And I told people that when I flew to Africa, when we were in the airspace above Africa, I just felt this overwhelming sense of peace and belonging. And it's funny because I lived in America my whole life. I lived from a small town in Northeast Georgia, lived in Georgia my whole life, never left the state to live. But I felt more at home there in Africa in 2017 than I ever have in my entire life living here in America. And so that was very interesting. Again, I made a lot of relationships there, a lot of friendships, had a wonderful time with my team. We did 10 days in Africa and then 5 days in Jerusalem. Those were two of the major things on my bucket list. And so it was exciting just to be able to experience that. I felt like that was a little kiss from God because I'd just gone through a whole lot. The last 10 years prior to that was a lot, a nightmare. And so God kind of gave me this little kiss of confirmation that I'm staying in the game, daughter, stay in the fight. And so here we are. I'm still very drawn to Africa, promising my friends I would come back every year back in 2017, but actually had not been back. And when I looked up, I realized 2017 to 2022, that's 5 years. Well, hopefully they give me a pass for last year because it was COVID, right? And not many people were traveling and moving around. Well, some people were, but it just kind of made me think about how we make these promises and we think, oh, you know, I'm there, I'm having a good time, I'm enjoying myself, this is amazing, and I'm promising myself and them, I'm going to do it again, I'm going to come back next year. But next year happened, next year happened, next year happened, next year happened. And actually this year, some of my friends in East Africa are a little perturbed with me because I ended up in West Africa this time and not East Africa. But when I tell them the story, then they give me a pass. So again, I've always been drawn to Africa. For the last year or so, I've been attending a home church here in Atlanta that is headed by two Nigerian pastors, a pastor and his wife. They pastor the church. But I also have been following Koinonia. They told me I was saying it wrong. I used to say Koinonia, right? But they said that's not how you say it. They said it's Koinonia, but I usually don't get it right. So I might say either one. But anyway, I've been following that ministry. I actually was doing coaching with someone that I met in a group. And so he was coaching me. He's Nigerian. He lives in Germany. And our coaching wasn't the normal coaching. And I always tell you guys, because I coach people trauma, I help people prepare for the bar exam. And I always tell people that every coach needs a coach. And so I hired this coach. We're mostly working on dealing with the spirit of rejection, but our coaching wasn't a traditional coaching. What we did in each of our sessions was we worked through the book of Genesis. So we read a couple of chapters in Genesis, we pray through them, we would pray in the spirit, then we'd ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. So it was not your traditional version of coaching, but it was very powerful because anytime you engage with the word of God, it opens up your mind, it begins to transform you, and it begins to come inside and recalibrate those things in you that are not in alignment with your destiny and your future and how God sees you. So that happened. And one day he said, you need to listen to this pastor. I have this pastor I want you to listen to. So I'm like, what pastor? And so he said, I'm going to send you the video. And so I said, okay, send me the video. So he sent me the video. So the video was Apostle Joshua Selman. And so I listened to the video and immediately something like leapt inside of me. It's only been like two times that this happened in my life. And I felt my spirit man saying, yes, connect to this grace, connect to this vision. And so I started following the church. They opened up the church in Abuja last year, which was like a year after I started following the videos. And I kind of binge watched. You know, some of you binge watch all this foolishness on Netflix. I binge watched his sermons. So once I got introduced to his ministry, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so powerful. This is so like really good at feeding me. And so I started going back, finding all his old sermons and like watching them over and over and over. Still just watching them, just growing, going to the home church here. And just, you know, still following after God, chasing after God, reading my Bible and all those kinds of things. And so I'm just going along, minding my own business, right? Thinking, okay. And so I see someone else saying, that's how I started watching. Yeah, so he told me, you know, you need to hear this. You need to hear him. You got to connect to this grace. And immediately, as soon as I listened, I was like, yeah, you're right. And so there was just a connection in the spirit there of the things that he was imparting and teaching, which were things that I'm always talking about. Growing the body, maturity in the body, people understanding that poverty is a curse, understanding that you have to have a strong relationship with the word, the purpose of prayer, just making sure that believers are sound in doctrine, sound in their understanding of the word, that they partner with Holy Spirit. Like all the things that he was teaching about, I was like gobbling it up, right? Never thinking, you know, and I'm, you know, never like, oh, I'm going to go to church there one day. I mean, that I always said to God, I would love to go to church there and worship at Koinonia, but I never thought like it was going to happen like right now. So anyway, let's fast forward to this year. So I'm watching all these sermons. I'm watching it. My brother's watching it with me. I'm growing in capacity in the spirit. I'm growing in my knowledge of things of the spirit. And I was already a pretty mature Christian before I started watching. But I mean, just the revelation and the discipline that I started to develop around my spiritual life just really grew. And so I'm fast forwarding to why we're here tonight is how I ended up in Abuja. I'm sure some of you know already that I just came back from Africa. And so let's go to July, right? So life is going on. July happened. So one day I'm sitting in my room and I'm praying. So I'm praying and I'm singing songs to God. Sometimes I just sing songs. Sometimes I make up songs. Sometimes I sing songs I already know. So I'm singing and I hear this voice clear as day. Clear as day, guys, say, I'm sending you to Abuja on August 15th. So I'm looking around like, who's going to Abuja? Because you have to keep in mind that they are preparing for the election in Nigeria. And I have a couple of people that I know there. And so I was kind of tracking with the election and things that were going there. And there started to be like some unrest and some infighting in anticipation for the election. And so I'm thinking, oh, God. You said now, like now, me? So that night, guys, this intense warfare, like the spirit of fear literally came in my room and kind of like sat over me, like was hovering over my bed. It was so intense. I had heart palpitations, like I couldn't hardly breathe. I was like, oh my God, this, you know, what's happening? Am I dying? Like it was intense. Spiritual warfare. It was almost as if, well, it wasn't almost, it was. The spirit of fear was saying, I know what you think you heard, but you're not going anywhere, sis. You stand right here in America. And I was kind of in agreement, which is terrible to agree with the spirit of fear. I'm not making light of it, but I was like, I am kind of scared. Like, I don't want to go to Nigeria by myself. But I didn't tell anyone. So keep in mind, it's July 23rd. And he says, I'm sending you on August 15th. So that's not that much time. So I didn't obey immediately. I didn't tell anybody, but I started kind of searching through some websites and stuff online, trying to see what the prices were going to be. So I'm kind of searching the flights, not really thinking much. So that Sunday, you know, I listen to Apostle Selman, he preaches. And then after the next Sunday, he preaches. So the next Sunday, I think, which was probably about 3 weeks, so maybe 2 weeks out, he's preaching. And he's like, you know, saying, and I think maybe some prisoners had broken out or escaped in Nigeria. And then some people had tried to storm the presidential compound. So it's all this unrest. And people are making sure that I know that, like, because people that I'm connected to and I'm following the news, like, there's all this unrest, which of course is trying to make me afraid to do what God told me to do. Like many of you, there are things that God has told you to do. You're clear. You know what you heard. But rather than obey what you heard, you're trying to get more instruction. And why God won't talk to me? I pray. I read my Bible. I don't hear God's voice. Go back and review the last thing that God told you. Did you obey? And then when you go back and do the last thing that he told you, you obey, then you'll start to get more instruction. Sometimes you don't figure out until you walk it out, which is what you'll see as I continue with my story. So I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do? So he says, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to dismiss. And he says, you know, I've been through this a lot, being from the north, because he's from the north area where a lot of Christians are persecuted and actually killed. It's like, I've been through this a lot, but God is sovereign. What we're not going to do is allow the spirit of fear to come in and take hold of us, because once fear comes in, it's a wrap. It's over, because fear and faith can't operate. And he's saying all this stuff, but he's like, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to dismiss a little early. Well, a little early is 4 hours of church instead of 4.5. But he dismissed. And so I'm like telling God, like, look, see, even Apostle Selman, see, he dismissed church a little early. Like, it's not even safe. Like, you can't send me out. It's not safe. Guys, God did not even answer me. He did not answer. He didn't respond. He didn't say a word. And so I knew that he was serious. I knew that what I thought I heard, I probably heard. So the following Saturday, I still waited like the whole week. And, you know, it's getting down to crunch time. And you know how flights are. And we're talking an international flight. I have a passport, of course, but I don't have a visa. And I don't even know the process of getting a visa, because I'm just sitting here like hoping that God, I'm trying to act invisible. Like maybe God won't see me if I like don't move. But of course, right? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. So he was like, nah, I definitely see you, right? And so so I knew he was serious. So the following week, so now we're what, 2 weeks out. And so I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? So I start looking on this third party website. I had found they had the cheapest price, so I'm going back and forth. And so that Saturday, I was like, Adrian, you know what God said, and you know you cannot disobey, right? And so I see someone says, I'm supposed to go in December. Go. If you heard God, go. You have to go. Okay, so we're 2 weeks out, and I'm telling, so what did I do? I started asking people. What do we do when we hear God? We start asking consensus, right? We start asking other people. Unfortunately, I didn't just obey. So all that week, I'm reaching out to people that I know from Nigeria. What do you think about Nigeria? Is it safe? Well, should I go? Well, I don't know. Well, you know, is it safe to go? And I never told them that I had a date from God and that God told me to go and all that. I'm just asking them what they think. And everybody's telling me no. No, you can't go. Now's not the time. It's just not safe. I went a couple of weeks ago and I covered myself the whole time I was there. People didn't even know I was there. I dressed like a poor person at the airport. I mean, they're telling me all these stories. This one lady told me a story about her friend of hers, because they were also doing a lot of kidnapping. I forgot to mention that part. So there was a lot of kidnapping that was going on. And this one lady told me a story about how this lady went missing. She was kidnapped. And the family was trying to come up with the ransom money for her to get her back. And they noticed that the brother was acting kind of strange. And they ended up discovering that the brother was actually in on the kidnapping. So people are telling me all these stories. And I'm like, yeah. But at this point, I know that God, I'm pretty sure that I heard God. And I know he's sending me to Abuja. So their stories don't really shake me. But from a human standpoint, all of the stories of fear and you can't go, you shouldn't go, this is not safe. You know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, like, okay, this is serious. Like, and I'm like Moses, like, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. So you got to let me know you're going, because if I'm going by myself, I'm not even going. And so we're 2 weeks out, and that Saturday, I go online to book my ticket. So I'm talking to the same guy back and forth, and I go online to book my ticket. And so I'm trying to book my ticket, and we go through everything, we go through the process, and then it says it's declined because they need to do some secondary research into, like, they want me to upload my passport photo, my driver's license, and all this other stuff. And I was like, I'm not sending. And I was like, see, God, I tried. I mean, I'm always doing this. I know God's like, Adrian, get it together. Because I was like, God, see, I tried. I gave him my credit card and everything. It didn't go through. And so I could have easily sent the stuff that I was, the secondary stuff. But I was like, I'm not sending him my passport picture, my driver's license, all that, just to use my credit card. So the guy I had been working with, he's like, Adrian, I've been working with you for over a month to try to sort this stuff together, which it hadn't been a month. But he was like, well, maybe it was close. He was like, I've never gone back and forth with anybody over a ticket like this. I thought you said you wanted, and he was, you know, he's from another country. He was like, I thought you said you really wanted to go to a conference. So even this person who's probably not a believer, God is using even his voice to say, but didn't you say that you were supposed to be going here? Didn't you say that God gave you a specific date? Like, what are you doing? And so I'm like, yeah, but I just don't want to send you the guys my passport and my driver and all this stuff. That's like my social security number. I don't give that to anybody. I mean, if I'm with my brother in the store and I have to put my social security card number in for something, like I'm applying for a new line of credit or something, I cover it up. I mean, I protect my social security number like my life. And so I feel the same way about my passport. And so anyway, so I'm like, okay, yeah, but I'm not going to do it. So that Sunday morning, I'm getting ready for church, which church is virtual, right? Because I'm watching virtually. And so I say to God, okay, look, we're down to the wire. I feel this is you. I believe it's you, but I need a Gideon fleece. And if you're not familiar with the story of Gideon, God was telling Gideon to do something. And Gideon was like, I don't know if this is you. Is it really you? You really want me to do this? And so one day he said he wanted the fleece to be wet. Like everything else was going to be dry and just the fleece would be wet. And then God did that. And he was like, well, yeah, but today everything else should be dry except everything else will be dry and the fleece will be wet, and then everything else will be wet and the fleece will be dry. Now I might be getting them backwards, as far as somebody can correct me if I am, but that's what happened. He asked for both of those things, but I might be getting dry wet backwards. But anyway, so I said, I need to get in fleece to tell me, show me something that only me and you will know, that you're sending me to Abuja, like for real, me by myself. And so that Sunday, I was listening to Apostle preach, right? And this is the Sunday before. So this is like maybe August 8th. And remember, he said, I'm sending you on the 15th. So I have absolutely waited down to the wire. So Apostle Stephen is preaching. He's preaching about something that has nothing to do with Noah's Ark. All of a sudden, he transitions and starts talking about Noah's Ark. So he's talking about Noah's Ark. He's talking about, you know, the safety and protection of Noah's Ark, the safety and protection of being in the will of God, and how cold it must have been with all the water in the world swirling around this ark, which I never thought about that. And he's saying, but the safest place to be is in God's will. And so he's talking about Noah's Ark, he's talking about the safety and protection, but all of a sudden I hear that same voice that I heard July 23rd. It says Mount Arafat. So I'm like, Mount Arafat? I think I heard of Mount Arafat before. So what do I do? Of course, I Google it. So I Google Mount Arafat. So Mount Arafat is in Turkey. And they say that Mount Arafat is the mountain that the Ark of Noah rested on during this whole time of the world being destroyed, except for the Ark. They say that at the top of Mount Arafat was where the Ark rested. Well, why was this significant, guys? This was significant because the flight that I was looking at buying was on Turkish Airlines, and I was going to have a layover in Turkey. Mount Arafat is in Turkey. You cannot make this stuff up, right? So I asked God for a fleece. In his goodness and mercy to me, he gives me a fleece. Undeniable. Like, I cannot explain this away. I cannot think this away. I know for a fact, when he says Mount Arafat, and I confirm that it's Turkey, and I'm going to be on Turkish Airlines, and I got a layover in Turkey, that yes, this is God. He's going to be with me. So After that's not it, right? So after, so I know for sure that yeah, I'm supposed to go. It's a week away, and I'm like, Lord, how much am I gonna have to pay for this flight? But it's my fault, right? Because he told me a month prior, but I just kept stalling because of fear. And so I'm sitting here like, okay, what am I gonna do? Church is over. About 15 minutes after church is over, my phone rings. I'm like, why is my phone ringing? Who is this? This is, I think, like unknown caller or something. So I pick up the phone to answer. Guess who it is, guys? It's the guy from the airline place, a third party airline place. He's calling me on the phone. Hey, Adrian. I said, yeah. Do you still want to go to Nigeria? I'm like, well, yeah. He said, you still want to go to that conference you told me about? I'm like, it's not conference, it's just church. But yeah. And he says, I just had a cancellation. If you will book this ticket now, I'll give you last week's price for today. Guys, you cannot make this stuff up. A cancellation. He's going to give me last week's price when I was supposed to be getting the ticket for that day, which at that point it was about $700 and something more. But he's going to give me last week's price. Now, keep in mind, these people are in business to make money. They're in business to sell tickets. He doesn't have to give me a discounted ticket. He doesn't have to give me a break on my ticket. But the favor of God was fully at play. So I said, yeah, I want to book it. Let's do it. I get my credit card. We booked the flight. So now I got this flight to go to Abuja, but I don't have a visa. So I'm trying to figure out how in the world am I going to get a visa. My flight is 1 week from today, 7 days. How in the world am I going to get a visa? So I reached out to a couple of people. They weren't really a help. So I said, let me go on the internet myself. So I go on the internet. I see that we have a place here in Roswell, which that's like only about 30 minutes from here, me. So I'm perfect. But then when I look on the appointment calendar, guys, the whole appointment calendar is blocked out. The whole month of August and September. I'm like, I can't get an appointment, but I got to have an appointment because I have to have a visa. So then I heard that they do visa on arrival, but not visa on arrival just for me going as a tourist. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go. So I get my ticket Sunday. I get up early Monday morning. They told me I had to have the online. It said you had to have a 1 day prepaid envelope from the post office. So I went to the post office. They didn't have any stamps for the prepaid envelope. So I had to drive to another post office. I get to the visa office and the lady is coming to open the door with me. So she's looking at me kind of strange, I guess because she knew they didn't have any appointments. She's like, you here for a visa? I said, yes. So I come in, I sit down, she turns on the lights and stuff. She's still looking strange because she knows and I know I don't have an appointment. So she finally says after about 10 minutes, do you have an appointment? I said, I don't. So she was like, you have to have an appointment. I said, well, I don't have an appointment and all y'all's appointments are blocked off for the next 2 months. But I'm going to Abuja next Sunday, so I gotta have a visa. And she looked at me like, is this girl out of her mind? Like, that's not how it works. But I was like, I gotta go. God sent me to Abuja. Like, you don't trump God, so you have to figure it out. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that to myself. So I sat there, just sitting in the chair. Nobody else in the office but the two of us, just kind of twirling around like I'm doing now. And she played with her computer, turned her computer on, went, turned on some lights. And I guess it was kind of like a waiting game. I just sat there like, yeah, I need a visa. So I had already, you know, gotten all my paperwork and stuff together. So finally, after 25 minutes of just waiting, I guess she realized I wasn't going to leave. So she said, do you have all your paperwork? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. And so she said, well, bring it over here. And so she gave me a paper and then she said, take this paper and put it in this order. I said, okay. I mean, I'm being nice. It doesn't matter if she had treated me like Lucifer. I was going to stay there. I was determined. I got a ticket. I got to be in Abuja, right? So I take her list. I organize everything in order. She said, bring it back over when you get finished. So I brought it over there and she's going through it. She was not happy. She was not happy with me. But, you know, the Bible says the heart of the king is, the heart of the king is in God's hands, right? He turns it whichever way he wills. And he gives us favor. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus had favor with God and with man. And so that's something I always pray about, is having favor. And so I had favor that day because I didn't have an appointment. She went through the paperwork. Now, they did charge me a little inconvenience fee, but it didn't matter. I had to have it. It's my fault because I waited till the last minute, right? So she went through my paperwork. She said, okay, it should be done in a couple of days. I'm like, oh, a couple of days, bet. So I leave the office. I give her my passport and everything. I have to take a picture. So I go through that little process. I already had paid for the visa online. This is just a formality of them taking my papers. I think I could have probably gone to the consulate myself, but I didn't want to risk it because I was so close. So I gave her the paperwork. I come home, so I start working. Now keep in mind, this is Sunday. I bought my ticket. Monday, I apply for the visa. Tuesday, I get an email that says your visa has been approved. It's being sent to the consulate. Wednesday, I get an email that says the consulate has completed the visa process. So now I know we're cooking with grease, right? We are, it's on, because it's been approved. It's coming from Sandy Springs, which is only about 30 minutes from where I live. I paid for a one-day envelope, which was $28. But so I know, okay, you know, it's, everything's going to be fine. So, of course, I still prayed over it. I prayed for USPS because they're not the most reliable, no offense. But I prayed for them, and I prayed that everything will work out with it. And so everything did. My visa, so I got my ticket Sunday, got my visa Monday. Friday, my visa arrived in the mail. So I'm like, okay, great. And so I'm packing, I'm getting everything together, I'm getting everything sorted. I'm getting ready to go to Abuja, Nigeria. Still not knowing what's going to happen when I get there. Still not knowing. And I think, I don't even think I had a hotel. No, I didn't have a hotel. I was still trying to book a hotel. My brother was like, you need to just book somewhere. You have to have somewhere to stay when you get there. Stop trying to find the perfect hotel. And I kept reaching out to people, a couple of people that I knew who lived in another part. They lived in Lagos and another part. And they were just kind of like trying to give me the runaround. People were giving me all of these exorbitant fees I was going to pay. Well, I can have my driver come get you, but it's $50 for this and $75 for this and this and this. And I don't mind paying, but I mean, for me, if one of my friends flies here from another country or even from another city, and they need me to pick them up from the airport, I'm not charging them $100 and something. I'm not even charging them, period. I mean, that's just who I am. You come to my city, I'm giving you hospitality, especially if you come from another country. But that's okay, because God always has a ram in the bush, right? So it's Friday night. I'm getting my things together. I go to everyone's favorite place to prepare for a trip, Walmart. And I go and pick all this stuff. I pick these like fit these like little pants, like I don't want to call them yoga pants because we y'all know how I feel about yoga, but they're kind of like in that style of pant, like kind of bell bottom flare. Let's call them flare pants. So I get them with some tops, and I get a couple pair of slacks. So I went to a prayer retreat here in Atlanta in April, I believe it was. Guys, I was the only American at the prayer retreat. All the women were Nigerian, so I bonded with them. And by the time it was over, they were like, are you sure you're not Nigerian? Because I knew all the Nigerian preachers, all the Nigerian songs. And they were like, are you going to get a Nigerian husband? I was like, well, I don't know. So, but anyway, so I finally decided to call her on Saturday. This is like the day before. And she, I told her, I said, I'm going to Nigeria. She's like, well, when? And I was like, tomorrow. Tomorrow. And of course, she's like, tomorrow? So where are you staying? What is this? She's going through this whole list. And she's like, let me see if I can, you know, find some connections. Let me see if I can connect you with some people. She's giving me all these things. This is how you're going to get money. This is what you got to do. This is the connection. So she's going through all of this stuff. She's giving me like a one-day crash course in Nigeria one-on-one 24 hours before my flight. You need to take this amount of shoes. You need to do this. She's telling me I got to lock my luggage. I'm like, lock my luggage? She's like, when you fly internationally, you have to lock your luggage. I'm like, I've flown internationally a lot, and I've never locked my luggage. I don't even have a lock for my luggage. And she was like, you have to lock your luggage. And, you know, she's giving me all this stuff, kind of being like a mama. She's telling me all this stuff. She gives me a couple of phone numbers of people to contact. But one of the things about that is most of the contacts that she had for me were in Lagos. I was going to Abuja, which is 45 minutes. It's 45 minutes flight. But I'm not even sure how you would drive there, how long it would take to drive, but it's a one-hour flight. So anyway, she's giving me this information. I still don't have a hotel. I still don't have a hotel. I still don't have anybody pick me up from the airport. And I really don't even know where I'm going. I mean, I know I'm going to Abuja, but I don't really know what. Like, I know I want to go to Cornonia. I know I want to try to meet Apostle if I can. At that point, I also emailed the church to the protocol department, the PR department, and said, hey, I'm going to be coming. I connected with the member of protocol, said, I'm going to be coming. My name's Adrian. Can you guys look out for me? So I knew I was going to go to church on Sunday, but I didn't know anything else. So they emailed me back and they said, hey, we also have prayer on Tuesday. So if you want to do that, then you can do, you know, participate in prayer. So I'm like, okay, good. So I got prayer and I got church. Well, what else am I doing? Because I'm going to be there for 8 days. So anyway, we're at Saturday. I don't have a hotel because I'm trying to be a cheapskate. Lord, deliver me, please. So I'm going through all this information. People, you know, the lady I told you, one lady said she was going to come and she would have her driver come. But then it was all these fees attached to her driver coming. I was like, I'm not going to worry about it. So Saturday night, I was supposed to be going to an event. Well, the event was Vonza Studios, which is a new premier studio here in Atlanta. It's in Johns Creek, actually, where you can go and do content creation. You can rent the space for an event. You can, I think, rent the space for a day. You can go there and do podcasts. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so the owners of the studio are my friends, right? Pastors Uyi and Faith Abraham, and they're Nigerian. Well, they didn't know I was going to Nigeria either. So I go to this event, and I'm like, I don't want to tell anybody else, because everybody I told was like, do not go. You cannot go. So I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone else. So when I come in the lobby of the event, there's the two ladies sitting there. And so the ladies are sitting there and they're, you know, talking. And then one of them starts talking to me and she's like, I really like you. And I was like, yeah, I feel connected to you in the spirit. So we sat down and we started talking. And so I don't know why, because I'm a very private person, but all of a sudden I just blurted out, I'm going to Nigeria tomorrow. And she was like, what? You going to Nigeria tomorrow? Where are you staying? How are you? You know, she starts asking the obvious questions. Where are you staying? Who's picking you up? What are you? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know any of those questions. I just know that God said he was sending me. So she says, amazingly, my brother's going to pick you up. I'm going to call my brother in the morning. He's going to pick you up. We need your details. He's going to take care of you. I'm going to tell my brother to treat you as if you're me. Now, mind you, I just met this lady. True, we met and we feel, you know, connected in the spirit. I feel like she's my sister, but we just met. She doesn't know me. I don't know her brother, none of that. But she says, I'm going to call him in the morning. We're going to call you together. Give him your flight information. He's going to pick you up from the airport. He'll take you to your hotel. He's going to take care of you. Whatever you need, I'm going to tell him to treat you like you're me. I'm sitting here like, God, what? You know, because I'm a very type A person. I'm very detailed. I like to iron out and choose and pick and be in control of everything. But that's one of the main things that God is teaching me, is that I'm not really in control. Like, he's in control. And he's a much better master of things than me, because I mess up a lot. I forget things. I get them wrong. I make mistakes. I misjudge things sometimes, but God never does, right? So she tells me, my brother's going to pick you up. He's going to connect. You can trust him. He's my brother. And he's going to look out for you like you're me. So the next day is Sunday. I'm getting ready for church. I'm trying to pack all my things because I'm going to another country. I got to have everything in order in my flight leaving that night. So I'm trying to get my things together, and I still have not booked a hotel. So I book my hotel. I get that done. I book it for 3 days because I'm like, you know, so sometimes the pictures are not really how the hotel looks when you get there. So I was kind of nervous, not just because of Africa or Nigeria or anything. That's anywhere I go. Because you could book a hotel in Chicago. You could book a hotel in New York, California, anywhere. And the pictures are made for marketing. And you get there and you like, your pictures look like the Ritz-Carlton, but this is clearly Motel 6. Stop it. And so I said, well, I'm not sure. So let me just book one night, because I'm going to be getting in late at night. And then we'll see what happens when I get there. Let me make sure it's a safe place, because I know I have a place to stay. So that's what I did. I got my things together and I watched church. I was upset because I couldn't even watch church, even though I was getting ready to go to be at church. But I got all my things together. So that evening, my brother took me to the airport, dropped me off. I was about to cry like I was a little kid. So I was like, he's leaving me. Because I tried to even get him to go. And he was like, no, God didn't tell me to go. This is not my assignment. I'm staying here in Atlanta. You're going to be fine. And he just kind of kicked me out of the nest, right? Like a mama bird or a daddy bird. And so he dropped me off at the airport. So I get on the air, I get out my ticket at the ticket counter, all of that stuff. And so Turkish Airlines, I've never flown them before. And I kept saying, are they even in the Atlanta airport? Because I've never flown them before. I've never looked for them. but everything was fine. And so when I got on the plane, even though it was like 10 o'clock at night, we had a layover, we had a delay. Our plane was delayed. So I was supposed to have a layover in Turkey for about 5 hours or 3 hours or something. I can't remember now. But because the flight was delayed, I got to stay in Atlanta, use my Wi-Fi, relax, get my mind right that I'm getting ready to go to Africa by myself, but God is with me. I'm going to be okay. And so I get on the flight and they're going to serve us dinner. So in case you probably don't know, because I'm sure I've never mentioned this before, but one of my favorite things to eat is salmon. Right. So I eat salmon. I have a Caesar salad and usually a baked potato, a baked sweet potato and a Caesar salad and salmon. Guys, I got on the plane. They had Turkish Airlines had a little menu, which no airline I've ever flown with had a menu. And I flown first class with Delta and they didn't give me a menu. Get it together, Delta. So Turkish, they gave us a menu. Guys, I opened the menu. What were we being served? Chicken Caesar salad with salmon. You can't make this stuff up. It was almost as if God was saying, okay, daughter, you casted off your fears. You trusted me. You believed me. It's me and you. I'm in the driver's seat, but I have every detail taken care of. And literally from that salmon Caesar salad through 8 days in Abuja, God had every single detail taken care of. When I, the flight went okay. Everything was fine with the flight because, like I said, it was delayed. I didn't have a long layover in Turkey like I expected to. I got to Turkey, then I got to Abuja. People were giving me all these horror stories about going through the airline. I didn't experience any of those things. And it was just amazing. I'm actually going to do another live where I'm going to tell you about this guy I met at the airport who totally shifted my mindset and God used him to kind of set my mind to cast away all the fears and all the negative things that people had told me. And you gotta be careful about this, be careful about it. He totally shifted all of that so I could be in a position to really, really, really trust God for the trip. And so from that salmon Caesar salad all the way through every detail, God had laid it out. When I came out of the airport, because at the Abuja airport, no one's allowed to come inside and like help you or get you. You can't meet with those people. You can't meet with anybody till you get outside the airport. Because I guess it would be too much confusion or whatever. I'm not sure the reason, security or whatever, but no one can come in and help you. So I'm like, well, how am I going to get my luggage and all this stuff? But there was a cart. When I got my luggage, there's a cart waiting right there. I mean, it was like every single detail, God had it laid out for me. And when I came out of it, so my brother was in contact with my new best friend's brother. And so he had sent him a picture. He's like, send this picture to your sister so she knows what I look like. I'm here at the airport. I'm waiting for her. I'm going to make sure everything's taken care of. So my brother's communicating with him. I'm like, how can I be treated like this? God is treating me like a little princess. Like he's literally taking care of every single detail. I was all worried, calling people, trying to make my own connections. And so, but I didn't need to do any of that, guys, because when God says he's sending you, he covers the bill, he covers the details, he covers every single thing connected to it. Okay, I'm not going to cry. So I come outside the airport and he's out there waiting for me. So I saw the picture on my phone. So I saw him, he came over, helped me with my car, we got all the stuff. He said, okay, now where are you staying? Because in real, I got my hotel the last minute. And so I told him my hotel. He took me to my hotel, dropped me off. Perfect gentleman. And for the rest of the trip, he has his own company. He's not like a small person, international, all of that stuff. But he made sure that I was taken care of. I connected with the people from Koinonia. They had people there who took care of me for when I went to prayer. So that was Monday night. Prayer was the next day. When I went to prayer, I met a young man at prayer who literally gave me his seat at prayer, which was in the front seat. It was like the front seat in prayer in the first row. And it was 2 hours of prayer. And from that moment, guys, it was just like on and popping. Like God took care of every detail. It was amazing. I got to meet with Apostle twice and be prayed for by him. He poured into me, spoke words of life over me, prophesied over me. It was amazing. And then on Wednesday, I connected with one of the ladies who the lady, remember the lady from the retreat, she had given me a phone number of one of her, like, kind of a young lady that she mentored. And she told me that she had a school. And I was like, school? Ding, ding, ding. If you know anything about me, you know I love children. I used to be a teacher. And so when I connected, so I was like, well, I got to connect with her. And so that Wednesday, I called her, and she was telling me about the school and what they do. And I said, so how can I serve you and your children? That's what I asked her. I didn't ask her, you know, I didn't wait to see if she needed help or her to ask me. I said, how can I serve you? And she said, well, you know, Friday, we have Bible club. Do you think you'd like to come and do Bible club? And I'm like, what? Of course I want to come do Bible club with the kids. And so, guys, every single thing that I could think of, God made it happen. I wanted to try Suya. He made it possible for me to get Suya. I wanted to ride the KK, which is like this little motorized car, which everyone was asking me, why do you want to ride that? Because this road to your hotel is rocky and dirt and muddy, and you might get mud on you. Like, what is, like, why do you want to do that? But that's just something I really wanted to do because I watched this video. Once I committed and knew I was going to Abuja, I watched a video that this guy did on YouTube. And so he was telling about all the different things you should do and different sites. And it was a really good video. I wish I knew the name of it now, but I don't. But he's just walking you through from the airport all the way through the process, how you get money, how you get a phone, how you get through the airport, how you get through customs. It was a good video. And so he showed the little KK, that's what they call it, KK. And I was like, I have to ride the KK. And so I wanted to try Suya, I wanted to try KK. My friend's brother took me down to the embassy and showed me all that. Oh, and I almost forgot. So that night, when he picked me up from the airport, it's late, right? It's like, I forgot what time I got home. Got there like 11:30. I said, I almost said what time I got home. I think it was maybe like 12, almost 12. It was late because he had to work the next day and I feel bad, but I mean, we were in there then, right? And so, but anyway, so he's taking me to my hotel. He goes the wrong way. He goes the wrong way. We go down this road. I look up and what do I see, guys? A billboard with Apostle Selma's face on it that says Cornonia Cheetah Center, Sundays at 5 p.m. You cannot make this stuff up. Literally, that was the first thing that I saw outside the airport welcoming me to Abuja. Of course, there were things along the road, but when he went the wrong way, I looked up and there's this huge Koinonia billboard with Apostle Selma's face. I'm like, God, you just love me too much. This is too much. Like, I wanted to cry, scream, holler, laugh. Like, what do you do? So he dropped, like I said, he dropped me off at the airport. I met the lady. She told me, the young lady, she told me about the, you know, the head of the school that she created. And I said I was going to meet her. So I went to prayer. Prayer was amazing. I went to meet with the children on Friday. That was amazing. If you follow me on YouTube or Facebook, which you must since you're watching, unless you just happened on here. And if you did, you need to subscribe and share this with some other people. What am I supposed to say? Come on, guys. Subscribe and share. Click the notification bell. Stay focused. Okay, so I was able to go to the school and spend time with the kids. I went to Koinonia prayer. I was able to meet with Apostle twice, give him my books, and also give him a seed and a letter that I had written to just tell him what a tremendous blessing he'd been to my life. Like, I mean, how I'd grown by leaps and bounds just from all of the teachings and his commitment to grow the body. And so it was just amazing. I also got to take a picture with him, which was amazing because he wasn't taking a million pictures that day. And just, you know, it just was amazing. I know I keep saying amazing, but I don't know what else to say, like miraculous, mind-blowing, special, supernatural, like God moment, a miracle. Like everything that happened was a miracle. And so I went to the school. The children were amazing. They were so little. The day before, they told their teacher that they had to go home and iron their clothes because the white lady was coming. For some reason, even when I was in Uganda, they kept calling me white lady. They associate people from America as being white lady, white. So even though I'm black and I look like a lot of them, some of them are like, I'm darker than some of them. They said they gotta go home and iron their clothes because the white lady was coming to see them. Isn't that cute? I don't know, it's still amazing. Isn't that precious? So I can't stop smiling, guys. Sorry, I know you like, why she keeps smiling? I'll probably be smiling for like the next 6 months, like maybe the next year. I can't stop smiling, so just, you know, don't hold it against me. So I went to the school, I taught them, they've been talking about Jesus, the different names and titles for Jesus. So we reviewed that. I taught them about Jesus being the Son of God. We used the scripture about the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. And the teacher had these hand motions. She taught them. Guys, in a matter of about, maybe 15 minutes, they memorized that whole scripture, the whole thing. And they, like, she would tell them which words have A, erase them, which words had B, and they would go through the whole process, and they learned the whole memory verse, and they quoted it from memory. I gotta see if I can find, I think I may have posted, I'm not sure, but I gotta see if I can find it. They quoted the whole scripture from memory. And I prophesied over each child. Each child came up to me. Some of them had their little hands held up. They had their heads down. They were in receive mode. And God gave me words for all of them. I prophesied and prayed over every single child. And I also had gone to the grocery store. My friend's brother took me to the grocery store so I could buy like some little cookies and lollipops for them. Because I knew when I went to Africa before, that was a big highlight for them to get candy. And so I bought lollipops for them and some little biscuits. And of course, tried to be a tremendous blessing to the teachers and the staff there. And you also should check out the video on backing a baby, just in case you didn't see it, because that was another highlight. I saw one of the staff members take the baby and tie the baby on her back. Well, I had seen, you know, African women carrying children around their back, but I never knew how to do it. So they taught me how to do it. Don't ask me to do it again, because I only did it one time. But the baby was so patient. He's used to it. You know, obviously, if you see the video, you see, because even though I was slower and didn't really know what to do and was very unsure, he trusted me. And he was just lying there waiting. And then he went to sleep and they were like, look how sleepy he is. He's so sleep. And they told me to do this little dance, which I did to make sure he was really asleep. And we put him down. And when I left, he was still sleeping. And so that then I got an opportunity to hear Apostle Selman teach like in a smaller group setting. And then meet with him. And then on Sunday was Koinonia, the main reason why I feel like I was there. And also, I forgot to tell you, I went to the teacher's school is at her house. And so we went into her bedroom when everything was over, like as the kids were leaving. And she was like, just go in there and kind of relax. So she came in and she showed me her prayer area, like her prayer altar. So she's telling me about her prayer altar and how she's always wanted to come to America. And how she prayed to God about America. And she said, I know you feel like you came here for Koinonia. I know that that was the reason why you wanted to come here, is to experience Koinonia and to meet Apostle Selman. She said, but I know that God brought you here for me. She said, you are an answer to my prayer. I prayed to go to America, but God sent America to me. Okay, I'm not going to cry. Guys, she said that me coming there was an answer to her prayers. Me, the girl who didn't even want to go, the girl who was scared to go, the girl who tried to talk God out of going. I became a physical representation of God hearing her prayers and answering her prayers. I mean, I don't know what to say. I thought I was going to be on a shorter time, but I'm going to try to wrap this up in the next 2 or 3 minutes. But when she told me that, like, I just didn't know what to say. I, like, started crying. I mean, you are an answer to my prayer. And I mean, people told me that probably 2 or 3 times that God told me that in prayer. I mean, people kept saying, you are an answer to my prayer. You being here is like an answer to prayer. It's an answered prayer. And they literally treated everywhere, the people at Koinonia, the protocol team, they treated me like a dignitary. They treated me like an ambassador. They treated me like I was, TD Jakes, probably. Like, really. I mean, from preferential seating to getting to meet with Apostle to, just really, really God reversed years and years and years of rejection, years and years and years of being left out, years and years and years of loneliness. God healed all of that in one trip. And so it was amazing. I'm sure I've said that 86 times, but it really, really was amazing. And so I went to Koinonia. And that was wonderful. It was a powerful service. Afterwards, you know, all the people, the international people who registered, get an opportunity to meet with Apostle, so got to meet with him. And I also met three young ladies who, while we were waiting, one was from Florida, Maryland, I think, and Virginia. And so we all met and exchanged phone numbers, and I've talked to them since I've been back. So I actually made three friends too. And so that was wonderful. And then the next day was Monday, and Tuesday I left to come home. And so I knew that we were having prayer again. And even though it was going to be a tight fit, I was like, I'm not going to miss a chance to pray. These are my people. This is my tribe. This is it. They speak my language. I'm not going to miss the opportunity to go to prayer. And so I asked my friend's brother if it would be okay. And he said, yeah, we'll work it out. So he took me to prayer. I got to go to prayer. I got to be the young man that I met that gave the seat, gave it up again. Another young man that was there gave me some books, gave me two Nathaniel Bassey CDs. I mean, guys, they were treating me like I was an ambassador to Nigeria. Like, it was crazy. The amount of favor and love that God showed me through people, I mean, strangers in the natural. It was amazing. And so I went to prayer. I received prayer from one of the pastors afterwards just for my flight and for it. He prophesied some things over me. So he had some words of knowledge about things that were totally true, totally accurate, and kind of released me into my destiny. So it was a powerful trip. My friend came and picked me up, took me to the airport, and I headed back to America, stopped through Turkey again. And so I wanted to share this story with you guys just to encourage you that God is in the business of blessing his children. God is still on the throne. Nothing has changed. It might look crazy around you. You might be going through a very difficult time right now. But if you will hold fast to God, if you will trust him, he will do exceedingly abundantly above more than you can ever ask or think. God loves us. He is a good, good father, and he blesses us. When the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, it's true. You have to walk in faith. You cannot come in agreement with fear. You have to believe God that what he says he will do, he'll do. And what does the other part of that scripture say? It says that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder, guys, of those who diligently seek him. God is faithful. He took me from Atlanta, Georgia on a Sunday to Abuja, Nigeria, in 1 week, and he blessed my socks off. Not only was I able to go, but I was able to be used to be a blessing to other people, and I'm so, so grateful. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up, stay in the fight, hold fast to God, believe him. If he gives you a word, trust him and obey. He is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of our praise. He is 100% dependable, and he cannot lie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Great is your faithfulness to us. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. Father, we thank you for being patient with us, but we will obey quickly. I pray for everyone who is watching, even those who are watching on the replay. There are some who are now even being challenged in their faith to do something that seems crazy, that seems foolish, but they know it's you. Father, I attach my faith with theirs to believe you for the impossible, to believe what you have said, to see that you will do it. Every word that you've spoken over their lives is yes and amen. We thank you for the opportunity to go to Abuja. We thank you for the blessing that we receive. We pray that you will continue to bless the people of Nigeria, that you will strengthen them, that you will help them begin to see themselves as you see them. I pray again for everyone who is watching, those who will watch on the replay. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I pray that whenever they're watching this, whether live or on the replay, that they will hear a resounding call, a clarion call to obey quickly, to trust you for the impossible, and see the amazing, exceedingly abundantly way that you want to bless us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, I wasn't able to watch your comments. I'll go back and read them, and I'll comment to them. Thanks for hanging in here and watching. I plan for this only to be about 30 minutes, but you know how I can get with my stories. I hope it was interesting. I hope most of all that your faith was strengthened and that you are encouraged to trust God and to believe him, because he never fails. God bless you and have a good night.